so that we can be closer to you. Help us to turn our minds off so that we can just hear the Spirit within us to guide us. Open our hearts, Lord, today so that we can truly abandon ourselves and worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped. Not fleetingly, not just because it's Sunday, but because we love you. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just lift him up in your own way. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And we have the honor of loving him. Lord, we know that we have so much we need to work on. We don't come to you perfect. You said you didn't come here for the saints and the priests. You came here for the sinner. And we don't want to be in sin anymore, Lord. So give us the awareness when we're walking in our sin, Lord, to turn around and walk the other direction.
Amen.
Give us a clean heart, Lord. We need a clean heart, Lord. We just want to praise you. Praise you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
comes up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Even though we've probably broken every one of the Ten Commandments, we can be legally set free by God because you paid our fine. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you cover us with your blood. Thank you that you protect us because you own us. You love us. Lord, help us to love you back. Help us to love you back every minute of every day, not just on Sundays, not just at Bible study. Every minute of every day, Lord. Just put it in our hearts to long after you like you are the best love of our life. We want to have a love affair with you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bring your words today, Lord. Yeah. Open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds. Amen. And Lord, let us walk out of this place on fire for you to be contagious in the city of Red Deer. We praise you, Jesus, and we lift your name on high. Amen, amen. The people said,
amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yeah.
Ooh. So when does the love of God run out?
Never.
Never. Let me ask you again. When does the love of God run out?
Never.
Never, 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 never. Wow. Nothing can separate us, Romans says, right?
Hallelujah.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And if you've come here today and maybe you've doubted that or you've wondered about it, maybe you're wondering, you know, could God still love me? Let me assure you that the answer to that question is absolutely. God loves you. Amen?
Amen?
He loves you so much that he offered his only son for you and for me. He offered his son so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could have life, and so that we could sing that song. And I love watching you sing it today, and there's just a joy in this place. I don't know if you've noticed that lately, but in the last number of weeks, there's been a real joy here, and we're realizing the importance of worship. We're realizing that it's in worship that we do warfare, and it's in that warfare that we overcome the enemy who's already been defeated on the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We don't need to be afraid to praise God. He wants our praise. He wants our worship. He wants us to give him glory. So I hope you feel welcome here today. But we're not here. We're here for God. We're not here for me or for you. We're here for God. We're here to offer everything we have up to him. We're here to call upon his name and to let him know the things that we need. And he reminds us that he's our Abba Father and that he's going to take care of our needs. So I know that there's lots of stuff going on in our lives. Be assured today, know this, that God loves you. He's not done. You are a work in process, but his love never fails. Amen? I'm going to ask Crystal to come forward, and she's going to share a bit this morning, right now.
Good morning. As usual, Stan just says yesterday afternoon. Well, why don't you share tomorrow? But I always want to be ready. I always want to have something to share. So I did have something to share. Yesterday I was at the breakfast, and one of the first things I did is I went in the bathroom. I'd just gone for a run, and I went in the bathroom, and there were four women in there, and four tough women in there. And we don't allow that in there. Like we're kind of trying to just do one person at a time because it's just not a good thing. So one lady was sitting on the floor. I think she was probably shooting up. And there were three of them, one brushing her teeth. And I said, "Well, I need to be in here. You cannot be in here." And they said, "Oh," they gave me some words, and they said, "Get out of here." And I said, "Oh, what do I do?" So of course I went to Stan. Stan can save me. So Stan came with me into the women's bathroom, and he says, "Hey guys, ladies, you need to get out of here. This is not acceptable." But anyway, so one left quietly. The three others said, "Blank, blank, blank. No, we're not getting out of here." And so finally, after some words, and Stan said, "Well, I'm going to have to phone the cops. And you guys are not listening. You have a bad attitude here. This is not a good thing." So anyway. He went out of the bathroom, I stayed, and this girl just took some water, and she just splashed me. Well, you know what? I'm a justice seeker, and I hate that stuff, and it makes me kind of roil inside. And then my heart also just felt so sad for this lady, and Stan told me later she is a tough lady, and I actually went over there, and I put my arm around her, and I said, "Whoa," like this, and you just did this, and then she said some words, but my heart was breaking for her because I thought, wonder what happened in this lady's life to make her so crusty. What has happened in her life that has made her absolutely hate me, and she doesn't know me from Adam. And Stan told me later she's one of the best fighters on the street, and don't ever put your arm around her because I may get a black eye. So, okay, we won't do that anymore. Anyway, that was part, but it just tugged on my heart. And then there was another lady, and she used to come here once in a while, and she was just weeping, shaking and sobbing. And so I went to her also, and I put my arm around her, and I says, "How can I help you?" And she couldn't talk, and she was just crying and just shaking. And so I said, "Are you coming off a high?" And she goes, "Nope, I'm not using." And I said, "Good." But she wouldn't talk to me. And again, that feeling inside of me is like, okay, God, I have so much. I want to help this person so much. But how? How can I help them? So anyway, I prayed for her, then somebody else talked to her, and other people came and talked to her too. And I was able to give her just a God hug. But anyway, I want to help people. That is what's on my heart. I just want to help people. We have so much to give. God has given us so much. And I look at so many people, and I just think, they don't know. They don't know what they're missing. They do not know what it could be. So anyway, that has been the theme of the last few months. How can I help people? I even took a little course called People Helping People. I don't know if it's helping, but anyway. But anyway, as I was coming home, I was just, what God put in my mind was Matthew 28, which is a strange thing to put in my head, but it was Matthew 28 is when go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? So that was kind of going through my head and going through my head. And then when I got home, I had not had time for my quiet time yet. So I sat down and I opened up my devotion book, and wouldn't you know, it always, God does this. The passage that it was for me for yesterday was Matthew 28. And so I just want to read this to you because it was good. Listen. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. That really hit me. Some doubted. That's from the 11. So some of the disciples still were doubting. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so I was just praying, okay, God, that sounds awesome. Like, you're with me. You're going to help me go and tell people. And yet, every time I'm with people, I feel like I'm not doing anything. Like, it's so hard. They don't want to hear a sermon. They don't want that. And so I was praying. And then, actually, in that devotion, it pointed me to Acts 1, verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria." That is cool. To me, that gave me great comfort because God is in me. And even though I'm not preaching a sermon, and even though I feel like sometimes I'm just not doing this, God said, "No, you are my witness. You are my witness because I am in you. The Holy Spirit is in you." And he just keeps reminding me that I cannot fix people. I cannot fix them. I can pray for them. I can pray for them, and the Holy Spirit will convict them. And when they are ready to start asking questions, I can help them. That's when I can really step in and show them that this is amazing. We have an amazing gospel. Very good news to give to people. So anyway, and then God said, "Okay, so that's your job, Crystal. You need to get on your knees and you need to know me. You need to know me. Sit by my feet and just know me. Because the more you know me, the more you can be my witness and you can share me with others." And so I just want to urge all of us. There's an urgency here. There are so many people here, right here in Red Deer. Everybody. Like, I walked into Michael's the other day. I ran into somebody I hadn't seen for a long time. I actually taught her kids. You know, and I just prayed, "God, use me. This woman is broken." And so I was able just to give her some words and just to say, "You know, there's great hope. There's such great hope. You know, we get to do this." And so I pray today that we may have that urgency in our hearts to be a witness. We are witnesses. God's in us. And so we can share this good news with everybody. Doesn't matter who it is. Without preaching. So I think that sometimes that just turns them right off. So do you want me to talk about cowboy yet too? Or you want to do that? Okay, so anyway. So anyway, the whole thing about prayer is huge, and I think that too, God said, you need to be on your knees for these people. You, that tough lady, you need to pray. You need to pray, because that's how things happen. That's how their crusty heart starts to soften. We need to pray. But anyway, this doesn't really fit, but I thought it was really cool. So I don't know about if you know about the cowboy got shut down this week. Just all of a sudden, some city worker came in and slapped this stop working order on the door, and of course Stan gets, I'll just be very honest, he's very upset. He gets very upset and he's panicky, and And so we called some people, please pray, because you don't know what this means. They had told us we can go ahead and start demolition. And all of a sudden when they come, they don't say anything. They just slap it on there. And that makes you wonder, what is going on here? So anyway, remember that it was the vision of Nehemiah. A couple of us were given that as we were going into Cowboy. We were given the picture of Nehemiah, where we were praising on one hand and a weapon in the other. And so I was just trying to encourage my husband. And I said, you know what? We have to praise God. A, we have to praise God. B, we can be expecting this. This is not going to go smooth. Okay? This is not going to be just simple. This is going to be a challenge. Because God wants us to trust him. He wants us to have the weapon. And he wants us to praise. And so, So we were just praying, and I had a peace about it. And then Stan went to Hope Center on Friday morning, and he prayed with that prayer. And one of the guys, Kelly, he says, let's pray for a sign. Let's pray for a sign that God's gonna move the way. Because Stan was talking to the city workers, and they were just giving him the runaround. They wouldn't tell him who did it. They wouldn't tell him why they did it. And Stan goes, we have to keep going here. This is not a good thing. So anyway, so we were just praying, and Kelly says, let's ask for a sign. And God gave a sign. That afternoon, they removed the work order. We don't know why. We don't know why. We do not know why. But it is, why does God allow things like that to happen? Why do we have to go through that? I think there's only one reason. He says, okay, so, Are you gonna trust me in this? I said I was gonna be with you. I'm never gonna leave you. I'm never gonna forsake you. So when there's a bump in the road, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna go, oh no? Are you gonna say, okay, God, where's the miracle you're gonna provide here? Because we need one right now. So anyway, that was just an addendum. Let's pray. Oh no. Do you want me to pray? God, I just thank you that you are far, far greater than all our problems, Father. You are far greater than all the issues in this life, God. I thank you. Thank you that you have good news for everyone who is hurt and wounded and not knowing you. God, you have great hope. And Father, use us. I pray that you will use us to be your witnesses. Everywhere, all over Red Deer, God, whoever we meet, Lord, help us to witness of your might and your power and your grace. Lord, it's such a good news. You've come to save us. You've rescued us. And so, God, we thank you for who you are and how you answer prayer. And I pray that you will continue to work in this service this morning, God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Getting teary here. I get the blessing of living with her, so yeah, I do. So, and she says she's not a preacher, but she sure fools me. God is good. God's so good. And just a couple things. Yeah, we're continuing with the renovations at Cowboy, so if you want to come and help, it is important they have the right kind of foot gear, so bring the foot gear. Ryan's right here. You can talk to him. But generally, we start 8 o'clock every morning, and we're going to be carrying a bunch of boards and taking nails out this week. So you can come for a couple of hours, or if you're any good with a hammer, come and take some nails out. You're welcome to join us in that. We've made some great progress this week, even though she's right. We were shut down for a day and a half. We got more done this week than I ever dreamed we would. So it's amazing. Right, Cal? Yeah, there's some good things. Calvin's smiling in the back because he's the guy pulling the nails out. And so are a few others. So thank God. Thank God for that. If there's a name that comes to you for the thrift store, we're going to take names this week. And then we kind of got a word from someone this week that we need to pick a name. We can't keep calling it Cowboys because that's not what it's going to be. So, yeah. So if you have a name, put it on a piece of paper and give it to me. And we're going to make a decision here. We got a couple good names that we already have. But we want to give everyone an opportunity. So if you're hearing a name or something comes to you, let me know what that is. All right? And I also feel like first of all, again, congratulations. There's an engagement that happened. You didn't think you're going to get away without that, right? So for Jason and Karina, we pray for you today, and we thank God when he brings two people together. Yeah. Hear from someone who just got married like 2 weeks ago. He's still hoo-hoo-hooing. So we want to pray for you and pray that God leads you and directs you and gives you the counsel that you need. So if it's okay, I'd like to just lead in prayer, and maybe Pauline, you could come up and we could pray for you. And I want to remember you too, Jerry. We're glad that you're here and want you to know we love you. We know that this is going to be a hard time with Gladys being with the Lord, but you're part of this. You're part of us, and he promises to walk alongside of you, even through the loneliness and even through the dark shadows. So, yeah, here you go.
I knew that was coming. So.
Stan said that was the first funeral I ever was at that I didn't speak. But anyway, I want to thank this fellowship for their love, their prayers, their encouragement, and the kindness that was shown to myself and our family. And it was greatly appreciated. There were many things. We had a sound man. We had music. And those things were a great blessing to the family and also to be able to have the service here. So on behalf of our tribe, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Again, let me just reiterate how much we love you guys. God be with you. God be near to you. Let's pray together. God, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you that we can say together this morning that we belong. It's such a good thing to belong. We belong to you. We're a part of your family. And that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jerry. Thank you, God, for the way you comfort him. You are the God of all comfort, as you promise. And we pray, God, that you'll continue to just hold him in your arms. Thank you for his family and his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And we pray a blessing on them. And God, we pray that you'll continue to just reveal who you are and be the God who is there in the loneliness and in the dark nights. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're never far away. We pray for Jason and Karina. Thank you, God, for the joy that is on their faces. And thank you, Lord, that you're a God who said that it would be good for a man to leave his mother and father and to cleave to his wife. You're the God who instituted marriage. And so we pray for them that they would be able to continue to journey towards that day. And we pray for them, Lord, just to continue to follow Jesus with all of their hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. It's been a blessing to see some of the encouraging things like that. Thank you, God. I just pray for my brother here. Thank you, God, for Pauline, for the way the Word of God just flows from his heart. And we are ready to hear, God. Just as we heard when Crystal was speaking, we know that your Spirit is here in this place. That's true because your Spirit dwells and lives in each one of us. So when we come into this place, we bring the Holy Spirit. And so we ask you today, Holy Spirit, would you just speak clearly? There's some of us who are struggling. Some of us are hurting. Some of us just need an extra measure of your grace and your mercy. So Holy Spirit, just touch us where we need to be touched and help us to hear from you today. And I pray for my brother here that you'll help him to just speak freely and that your word today would be proclaimed, that we leave this place saying glory to God in the highest because the word of God has been imparted into our hearts again. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. How many of you are thankful that you are here today in the house of the Lord? I am thankful. I'm thankful because whenever two or three believers gather together, the promise of God will be fulfilled that he is in our midst. So he's here just like Pastor Sun prayed a while ago. He is here with us to show himself that he is a living and good and awesome God, to show himself that he is with us to energize us in our faith journey, until Jesus comes again. I'm thankful also to the Lord, and I thank Sister Crystal for the introduction and the word that she shared a while ago. That what I capture in my spirit is she mentioned over and over again the word known, known, and known, and trust, trust, trust. Knowledge and trust, knowledge and faith, knowledge about God, knowledge about truth, kind of goes hand in hand with faith. So if you don't have a knowledge on something spoken in the Word of God, you will not have faith to believe that truth of that word. So let's see today. I think you know by that hint, you know already the topic that I'm going to share about. I'll be talking about faith, a very familiar subject. Everybody knows that there's a chapter in the Bible regarding faith, which is Hebrews chapter 11. So I'll be taking some passages, some verses from that chapter today for us to ponder on, not just here in this place, but also all throughout the week and maybe until Jesus comes again. Because day by day, He perfects our faith. Hallelujah. He is the perfecter of our faith. Hallelujah. So we need, first of all, to understand what faith is. Understanding faith is very fundamental, very essential to claim the promises of God. Lots of us have faith. Almost anybody has faith. But those people out there, they don't put their faith in God. They put their faith in their career, in their money, in their ability, in their education, in their doctor, and many things, but not God. But today we are called to put our trust, our faith, the right kind of faith, the right kind of belief in God. Because even though some people put their faith in God, but they put the wrong kind of faith in God. They trust God as a cruel God. They believe that God is aloof and very distant from them. They believe that God is an angry God. Maybe they keep thinking a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Well, after Christ paid for all our sins on the cross, God is no longer angry with you and with me. No longer angry. So we thank God for that. So believe the right things about God. One of the strategies of the enemies is to twist our thinking, our thought, our belief system, so that we believe not the right thing about God, but the wrong thing about God. Dangerous to believe that way. In other words, my faith, your faith, is only as good as the object where you place that faith on. Faith always has an object, meaning where you put your faith on. So we need to put our faith on God. Well, trusting God is built upon the facts of how He conducts Himself, how He has acted in the past. That's in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, you know about faith, or the basic of faith. And if you know this, you won't have any difficulty believing miracles, signs, and wonders. In New Testament, faith is defined as acknowledging him acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah, as the Lord and Savior, the incarnate Son of God. This is the dividing line. Because many people do not believe that God is incarnate in his Son, Jesus Christ. He became a man. We'll celebrate that in Christmas. God incarnate. Incarnate Son of God. So this is the basic faith in the New Testament. That's a very basic one. If we want to grow in our faith, and our faith has been developing also based on the divine testimony from the Bible. If I may read one verse from Titus 1, verse 2, it says, a faith and knowledge resting on hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. All of us understand that faith is a supernatural divine gift. It is supernatural, and it is defined, and it is a gift. So for you to receive a gift, you have to accept, you have to receive it. Even our salvation, as mentioned in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it says further, this is not from yourselves, but it says it is the gift of God. So that faith is a gift of God. And you are saved not by works, so that no one can boast about the grace or the salvation that he or she has enjoyed from God. So faith is a supernatural divine gift. To each one of us, this faith has been measured out or given by God. Question now is, why someone has more faith compared to the others? You have faith, you have a measure of faith. I have a measure of faith. He or she has a measure of faith given by God. But why he can perform signs and wonders, and that sister, that brother can perform even higher? What makes the difference? Well, the difference is because faith should be exercised. The more you exercise your faith, the more powerful it will work. Each one of us wants to grow in faith. I do want to grow in my faith day by day. Never be content, never be complacent with your current level of faith. Well, the apostles of Jesus pray about it, ask the Lord so that their faith will be increased. Who are we then compared to them, compared to John the Apostle, compared to Peter? Not to want more of this faith increase. And let's remember the fact that according to the statement given by Jesus, there might be a possibility as we are nearing the second coming of Jesus, a generation will come or spring up who is faithless. It's written in the Bible in Luke chapter 18. There's a possibility that a generation will come that they do not believe in the Lord. When the Son of Man comes, the Bible says, will he find faith on the earth? That's in Luke 18. So in light of all this, I pray today, first for myself, for my family, and for all of us, that we may continue to grow and mature in our faith. You know the verse already in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message or the word of God. Faith is something that can come to you if you hear the message, if you hear the word of God. And if you look carefully in that verse, it doesn't say faith came in the past. But it says faith comes. Meaning, it is the present tense. As I'm preaching today, if you are open in your spirit and soul to the word of God, when you hear the word of God, faith will come to you because it is at this present time faith in you will be stirred and the faith of God will be imparted to you. And always it should be through the word of God. The message is the word of Christ, not the word of man, not the word of politicians, not the word of intellectuals that bring faith to you. It is the word of God. It is the message of Jesus Christ that inspire, maybe that's the word, that inspire, or maybe another word, it is the message of Jesus Christ that begets. The word of begets means kind of making another one in you. It comes originally from God. In fact, faith is the gift of God, comes from God through his word, and it begets the same faith in you. Born in you, the faith of God. If you look one verse in the book of Mark, there is one verse that says there, receive the faith of God. Act on the faith of God, not on your own faith. So the faith of God is given or birthed out in you. That is the meaning of beget or begotten in you. Faith is always the presence of the word of Christ which can come into your life. And faith is kind of saying, yes, Lord, I agree with your promise. I agree with your word. Faith is kind of saying, amen, Lord. I agree with your word. 2 Corinthians Maybe we need to read this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. This verse talks about Christ as the guarantor who can guarantee every promise of God made for you is amen in Jesus Christ. So let's read together. 1, 2, 3. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he will establish us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. There are so many promises in the Bible, promises in the scripture for us to claim. More than 5,000, more than 20,000 verses regarding promises of God. Have you claimed 1,000 of those? Continue claiming them using your faith, because there's a guarantee in Christ. These promises made by God to us, it is yes in Christ. Because through him, the amen is spoken by us to God, to the glory of God. I'd like to ask you a question. How can you believe for one of God's promises? How can you believe? Well, the answer is in that verse that we just read about a second ago. The answer is, it is yes in Christ. That's why I know that I believe for God's promises, it is yes in Christ. Another question, for example, this might be the need of some of you here today in the service. How can you believe for healing? Well, the answer is because the message of Christ says that by his wounds, by his stripes, you have been healed. It is yes in him. 1 Peter says about that. When you pray, how can you believe that your prayers are answered by God? Well, again, the Bible says, the message says, the word of God says, the very words that come out of the lips or the mouth of Christ in Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask, and what's the rest? Ask, and he'll be given. I don't make this thing out. So what is faith then? Well, that faith chapter, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure. There is an assurance there. There is a guarantee there in that faith. Faith is being sure that what we hope for, of what we hope for, and being certain, being confident of what we do not see with our physical eyes. So don't continue claiming God, Lord, I need to see first with my physical eyes before I believe in you. It doesn't work that way in spiritual realm, no. You believe first. You put your faith and trust first in the promise of God, And then secondly, your physical eye will see in the material form. Because everything is already done in the spiritual realm. How we actualize things in the spiritual realm is by pulling them down, using our faith, and the spiritual realm will materialize into material things that you can touch, see, and experience. That's how faith works. So even though the fulfillment of those promises of God, you have not yet seen with your physical eyes, but since faith has an eye, it can see in the spiritual realm. And faith is the one that brings promises from the spiritual into the natural realm. It is faith, 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 faith. Nothing but faith. We need to learn that God may show us how to call those things that are not as though they were. We'll do that today. Maybe Pastor Stan will give us an opportunity that some of you will come here in front, and then you'll start using your faith given by God in you, calling those things that are not at the present time, that are not, but as though they were. Practice that every day, sister. Practice that every day, brother. It's good, it's good. So, what are the keys if you want to grow in your faith? Your faith, my faith, will always lead to understanding. I know some of you sitting here in the service, you put it upside down. You say, I need to understand first with my finite mind before I'm able to believe. Well, again, I'm sorry, brothers. I'm sorry, sisters. That's not the order put by God. No. Faith leads to understanding. This is faith. You have your faith. You exercise your faith. And then, as a result of that, you will come to understand. However hard you try to understand first, it will not work. I'm sorry to say, the things of God do not work that way. I'm not to disappoint you, but that's the truth of God. So faith first, and that faith as the initiator will open as time goes by things for you to understand the things of the spiritual realm, the things of God. I know it is normal for a normal person sometimes to have doubt. I know that. But my plea, my request for us, for each one of us today is, do not, please, do not live in your doubt. Live in your faith. Or faith should win over doubt. And then understanding will come, and then confidence also will come. I don't know. I think I need to reemphasize this again. God's way, God's thing, is not grasped first by our own intellect. I'm not trying to demean the power of your intellect. But God's way, spiritual thing, is not grasped first by our own finite or our own intellect, but by first. By faith first. Let me quote again another verse from Hebrew chapter 11, verse 3. It says that by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. See? Faith leads to understand. The Bible, my Bible, does not say, we understand and then we have faith in God that He's the one creating the whole universe. Not that way. Even my salvation, even your salvation, I've quoted Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 to you. Even in those verses, he says that faith is the one that leads to salvation. It is faith that leads to salvation. It is the initiator. And then you talk about healing. Also, the same thing. It is faith that brings about healing. Remember what Jesus said to the Syrophoenician woman who has a daughter who is demon-possessed? What did Jesus say to her, to the mother? Because of your faith, because you believe, then healing was obtained. So again, let's just remember that faith opens the door to understanding. Some people, I think, their brain or their head smoke because they try to solve the problems with their own understanding or mind first. Cannot. Faith in God. And after the faith, it will lead you to understand the things of God. And please remember that faith is not something which is passive or lethargic or lazy. Faith is not passive. Faith always acts. Faith always seeks its object diligently. No wonder that verse also in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews says, anyone who comes to God, anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who what? Those who diligently seek Him. This indicates, that denotes that faith is something which is active and not passive. That's why blind beggar Bartimaeus, he's not just submitting himself to fatalistic view or F-A-T-E, faith, not faith, but faith. He's not submitting himself to that fatalistic attitude. He's crying out to Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, you can read the story about blind Bartimaeus. He made his best effort. He seeks Jesus diligently. He cries out to him. Even though he was reprimanded, shut up. Don't shout that way. It's not polite. It's not good. Doesn't want to be suppressed by the untruth like that. He wants to show that he is doing his best, diligently, seeking, earnestly, seeking the Lord. I know faith can be patient. I know that. Faith can be patient. It can wait and wait and wait. But I'm not saying that faith is passive. Never and never and never. And even much worse, faith is not being fatalistic. So if, for example, 20 years, 30 years, you see the situation just remains the same, and then you submit yourself to saying, oh, this is it. It will never change. It will be always like this until the end of the world. That is fatalistic. Your faith is the one that can change your world, your life, because Jesus in his word has promised so. To God be the glory. I'd like to just stop here and give us the opportunity to speak things in faith for the things which are not yet materialized, but you speak it by faith today as it has happened. God will honor your faith. God bless you all.
Worship called Do It Again. Can you just look that up for me? Do It Again. Yes. Yeah, okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. And we're going to pray for other things as well, yeah. What I was hearing when Brother was preaching today is, you know, that we just need to claim what's true that's happening in the heavens. We may not see it with our eyes right now, but that's what faith is. Faith is believing what God's promises are, believing them. And what we see and the results of all that, all the physical manifestation of that, that's going to follow. But it really starts in believing what the promises are and believing the nature of God and who he is. And I'm just convinced, because I know this is true in my life, that there's probably a lot of us here today going, you know, I understand that. I have been praying for this same thing over and over and over again, and it just seems like the walls don't ever come down. And, you know, some of you feel that way. Maybe it's about a physical sickness. You've been praying about this sickness or this condition or this disease or this addiction, whatever it is, and you go, you know, I've been praying about this over and over and over again. It doesn't seem like I'm ever making any headway. I get no traction with this. I think there's some of us here today who that's true for. Or maybe there's some of us, and I know this is true too, that we're tired. We're weary of praying for our children or for a loved one who just never seems to come to know Jesus, right? We just keep praying for that same person over and over again, and like Brother Paulin was saying, you do this for 20 years, and finally we become fatalistic, and we go, well, okay, we lose that battle, I guess. It's never going to happen, right? It's never going to happen. So if you feel that way today, this is a message for you. And I think there's more examples like that, but I believe what God is saying to us today in his word is that what appears to be reality to us in everything that we see in every tangible way may not be reality at all. And that's what faith is. Faith is believing without seeing. Faith is believing even though all the evidence that might be physical or scientific evidence may not be true. We don't believe that. We believe in a God who can do the impossible. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're not going to give up on that daughter. We're going to keep praying for her. Even though you feel like it, you're sick of it, you don't think it's working. And that's really what it is, right? We go, well, this isn't working. This isn't working. I don't see what I think I need to be seeing. It doesn't matter. What matters is God. What matters is that faith is in God, not in the results that we think we got to see. Faith is in God. And if it's true, and it is, if it's true that faith is a gift from God, and this is not of ourselves, but it is a gift that comes from God, then we ought to be willing today to reach out and just receive it. God wants to give you that gift. You don't need to earn it. You don't even need to ask for it. He just offers it. He says, faith is a gift. Here you go. But we need to receive it. We need to take it. So here's what I think we're going to do today. I want to play this song. And the song, the words, the first words of this song are this. It says this: walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Let me just say that again. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. The promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And today, as we play that song, and if you feel today that this is a message that you hear from God and you're going, yeah, I need more faith. I want to receive. I'm not even, you don't need to ask for it. I just want to receive what he's giving me. He wants to give you more faith. I'm going to ask you just to stand right where you are in your chair. Just stand there. And some people around you are going to surround you. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for an increase in our faith. We're going to pray that what we see today is what we see with the eye of faith, as Brother spoke about. Not with this eye, but with the eye of our heart, with the eye of faith. And we're going to stand today and no longer be discouraged. I'm not going to be discouraged because my prayer doesn't seem to be answered the way I want it to be answered, because I haven't been healed the way I want to be healed. I'm going to just believe in the promises of God. Amen? Amen. So listen to these words. We're going to. Are you ready for this? Is it the 6-minute version? Okay, it goes to a point and we'll stop it. Okay, it goes about 6 minutes. Close your eyes. Worship. Listen to this. And stand up when you're ready to receive it.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have still enough. Keep me with
just surround each other and pray for those who are standing. Promise still stands.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my
This is my confidence. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. I want to just invite you to come. If you have prayer needs, there's something that you just want more people to join around you. Maybe you're struggling with depression today, or you're struggling with a bill you can't pay, or a dream that isn't getting filled, it isn't getting fulfilled, or, you know, come on up after this. Come on up. If you just need a hug, you can come up. Hugs are free. But, you know, this is good news, and we got to believe this. Our faith sometimes gets shaken. our faith sometimes, we're so human, right? We just think we got to see it all. We got to see the results. But know this today, your God has never failed you yet. He has never failed me. And this is my confidence. So why don't we stand and receive the parting blessing of God. And if you want prayer, just come on up. Let's pray together. And let's stand under the word that we heard today. Let's believe this truth. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace because he loves you. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you.